Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're already having a good time, aren't we, Reuben? Hallelujah. Well, people are out and some are ministering. Homer just got back in late last night from saying goodbye to his mother, and he's doing real good. Hallelujah. And I think Matt and Marie are doing something with the family this weekend, but we're here and we're here to party down. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you stand and go give somebody a great big hug? And then go back and get your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 2 and get ready for some doctrine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We magnify you, Jesus. Thank you for who you are and what you become to us and in us, through us. We praise you, Jesus. We give you glory that you've sent to us another comforter of the same kind. We worship you and thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yolanda said, could she give a brief testimony? She had something before break, so. Yeah, you'd need it. We just want to hear what you had to say. Yeah, Augustine didn't tell us that your voice would get loud. He said you were very soft-spoken, like the Scripture said. Raise it up.
Yes. I know some of you don't know. In March, I got sick. Nope. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In March, I saw my doctor for a complete checkup. And I had to do some things, and in one of the tests, the nurse went crazy. So they called me and they said, blah, blah, blah. And then they said, we got to send you in because of cancer. Stomach, colon, I guess everything. I guess Satan was ready to come and buy, and I said, no. And so I went to the doctor. There was other things in the middle, in between. And through that process, I thought I had learned the word patience, but I guess Lord wanted me to learn it some more. So last week, everything came to a stop. I went to the doctor. And they tell you a bunch of stuff that they're going to clip and they're going to nip and they're going to... And every time they say something, I said, nope. And they always call me like crazy because I guess I'm too radical. Even though I'm getting elderly in age, but I'm still love the Lord very much. And... the report came, no nip. When the doctor went to see me after woke me, he said, well, no nip, no clip, no cancer, no blood, nothing, no more. There's nothing. You are perfectly healthy.
Hallelujah. It's good.
And I give glory to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to Him. And I thank
glory.
You for the prayer person. Who you know who you are. We have learned by the Spirit of God, by Pastor Gary Flint. If he didn't know why God brought him.
Hallelujah.
I believe he's already found out and he just wants to go further. And we have to support him. Amen. And even though sometimes we like a teapot. We have to ask the Holy Spirit, straighten me, even there's a straighten me, straighten me. And we know the process.
Hallelujah.
Here. Prayer, fasting, praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
And if we don't do it, nobody falls by ours. But
hallelujah.
I just thank God that I fell in love with Him the moment He addressed me.
Hallelujah.
And He's been the lover of my soul.
Glory.
I love my husband. Don't take me wrong, you know, but he knows... You know who the main man is.
There you go, Ralph. Hallelujah. Yolanda's shutting that show down, nip and tuck. I think Miss Callie had something too, didn't she? Oh, it's a war across the aisles.
Come on, love.
Launch your best one.
Oh,
hallelujah.
It's been a good week, Pastor. Thursday, Oh, God.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
About burst. I literally, my chest seemed like it wanted to burst open. I don't remember whether it was the last time Pastor Dave came to this church or a time before. Mm-hmm. But I know he had us lined up here in the hallway here. He usually be up there, but he came and stood midway there. And I was a little bit further back because I couldn't get a seat up where I wanted to be. But he had asked us to come up. And when I came up, he prayed for me the regular prayer. Then when I got up off the floor, I was finna walk away, and he told me to come back. And I came back, and he told me, oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
We love you, Lord.
Jesus. Glory to God.
He told me, say, he didn't touch me on anything. He just looked at me and looked in my eye. He said, that son that you've been looking for so long, you're going to hear from him. He didn't say when.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say nothing. He has told me that son.
Mm.
Ooh, glory.
I believe I remember that too.
Jesus. Ooh. See that son that you've been looking for, you're going to hear from him.
Mm.
I said, okay. I know I've been praying for so long. My son been missing for 25 years.
Jesus.
He's 40. This coming August, he'll be 45 years old. I didn't know where he was at. I hadn't got a phone call, hadn't got a letter, nothing. And I went on, and I kept that, what Pastor Dave had said. I always kept it with me. And sometimes I'd be standing up, and I said, Lord, just let me hear something. Let me hear something. I don't want to leave this earth without hearing something from my child. I want to hear something. Even if he's dead, let me know where his bones are at, so I can go and bring them home and bury him. I just want to know something. Oh, my God.
Thank you, Jesus.
I often wonder, I say, why did I have Tadre so late? Why did I have him so late? Oh, God. Now I know the reason. Tadre is almost 17 years behind all of my other children. And he was the one who found my son.
Jeez.
He was up there doing his internship last Thursday. Got on the computer.
Glory to God.
And he put in his name. He put in his birthday. Then it wouldn't show up nothing. So he called me, said, what is Michael's Social Security number? And for some reason, all these years, I've been keeping that little, the card you tell your Social Security number. I've been keeping that, just, you know, you have to keep something belongs to him. And I've been holding on to that little piece of card.
Mm.
Oh,
Jesus.
God,
hallelujah,
Jesus.
To God.
Oh, I love you, Jesus. And I went in the safe and got the card, and I read him the number. And he said, I'll call you back. He called me back. He said, don't get excited. I think I found him. I said, found who?
Jesus.
He said, I found Bruce. His name is Michael Bruce. He said, I think I found him. I said, don't play with me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, don't play with me. I said, you know how I feel about this. Don't play with me. If you're not serious, don't play with me. He said, I'm not playing. I'm not playing. He said, I think I found him. So I said, well, do you have an address? He said, yes, he have an address and a phone number. I said, give it to me. He said, no. He said, because you're there by yourself, and if you call that number and it's not him, you know, he was scared something would happen. I would have a heart attack or something. But he said, if call it and it is him, he think I would be so overjoyed that that would kill me.
Either way.
So he wouldn't give it to me. He gave it. He called my daughter and he gave it to her. She called the number. Then I was just saying, Lord, let it be. I was just praying. Oh, God, I was praying hard while this little time was going by. It seemed like it was so long, but it was only 45 minutes. But she called me. She say, "Mom, it's him."
Jesus.
Ooh, God.
Jesus.
Ooh, God. Mm. I can't begin to tell y'all. Mm. Y'all don't even know.
Glory to God.
That's my firstborn. That's my Jesus. First child I ever had. And when he walked away, I didn't know what had happened, where he went, what. But all just to know, I haven't even spoke to him yet. I haven't spoke to him. But my daughter had a long conversation with him. And I don't know why he left and what all this, but I just can't. They don't want me to just run in there and just start talking to him. Mm-hmm. They want to kind of like work us back together to see where he's coming from, why he left, and what made him stay so long and not get in touch with me. I never changed my phone number. I've been had the same number ever since 1970. Because I said, if he can just remember my number, he can call me. I said, I'm not going anywhere. I will be in this house till Jesus blow this house down.
Hallelujah.
He'll know where to reach me at. And I'm so thankful. Y'all, you just don't know.
Hallelujah.
I've been thanking the Lord so much.
Praise you,
God.
Jesus.
I've been really. I said, before Pastor Dave said, he didn't tell me when it was going to happen, but he told me I was going to hear from my child. And that's all I've been just. I said, Lord, I thank God. I've never forgotten what Pastor Dave told me. I've never forgotten it. And even Miss Dolly was here when it happened. When I called her to tell her that my child was found, she said, remember what Pastor Dave said? That's the first words came out of her mouth. And me and her hadn't even talked about it in a long time, what Pastor Dave said. But it was always on my mind. I said, Lord, just let me hear something. Even last Sunday when I was in church, I said, Lord, don't let me leave this earth. I'm sitting right here in this building. I said, Lord, don't let me leave this earth without hearing something from my child. Went right on home all the week. Thursday, I get the word. Oh, I done screamed. I done hollered. I done cried. They said, what you crying for? I said, it's happy. Happy tears. Happy cry. And I wasn't just crying with tears right now. I was boo-boo crying.
Hallelujah.
I just thank the Lord. I give God all the praise. And wherever Pastor Dave is at, I thank him.
He'll hear about it.
I thank him for that prophecy. I thank him. Oh, God. It came true.
Hallelujah.
Pastor, if you ever see him, you let him know.
Wow. Talk to him soon.
And I haven't talked to his son yet, but just to know that he's alive, it means so much to me.
Jesus. Hallelujah. We have got anything that we do right now is just a token, but we've got to stand because we've heard two notable miracles. And this one, if your son was gone for 25 years, I want you to stand and praise God like your son or daughter had just got back in touch with you. Father, I worship you. I praise you and I give you all the glory. I praise you and I give you all the glory. Only through you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. Magnify him with everything, every fiber of your being. He is worthy to receive praise. I worship you, Father. I praise and magnify you, Jesus. I praise and magnify you, Jesus. Thank you for this notable miracle. Thank you for this son, Lord God, who's been contacted. Oh, we give you all the praise, Father. We worship you. We glorify you. Lord, words are not enough. We magnify you 1,000 times, 10,000 times. Thank you for bringing this to pass. And all these prayers, Lord, that have been offered up, praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for these two notable miracles. Now, how many of you will go home today and realize that you were in a place where you heard two notable miracles? You heard of one cancer, probability of it, very high, and yet no sign of it. Hallelujah. And then a son for a quarter of a century. That's a good while. Gone. And now he's been found. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus.
I want to call Brother Dave, you prayed for me years ago too for a hope.
Yes.
You have been praying for me. I will never cut. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You will never make God short. Never. Never
cut him short.
I had a hole, and I had a test for that hole. When I went for this, ain't no hole there.
Hallelujah.
When he said about the hole, I agreed. I said, I got a hole. It's not there. But when I went for these other things, because I said, ain't no hole.
Hallelujah.
But there ain't no hope either.
Glory to God.
Never
short. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for these things. I receive your wisdom and grace, the doctrine of your word, and I thank you for it, Father. Receive now, Father, as your people, your sons and daughters pray, lift me up. Receive your exaltation in your word. Your strength, your grace, it is sufficient. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 15. These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. If they were come in here this morning, they might think that we were on something, Sister Barbara. But this is that. Can you say that with me? This is that. Oh, you said it kind of. Hallelujah. That's what I was after. Glory. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall, what? Prophesy. The last thing he said there was prophesy in that concerning the spiritual gifts. And then he goes on to say, before that I'll show signs, I'll show wonders in the heavens above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor, smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood. We know those things have not happened yet before that great and notable day of the Lord. Now, as we've said before, this was Joel's prophecy. And Peter, knowing it, quotes it almost verbatim. The only thing he adds to it was he said, this is that. Joel said in the last days, all these things will happen. The only thing Joel does not mention is praying in tongues. If you study and read this, what has just happened is this 120 just started praying in tongues. The Holy Spirit comes down with wind. He comes down with fire, initiates this whole thing because they've been waiting for approximately 10 days. And Peter steps up and he says, what has just happened in Jerusalem, in essence, is the birth of the first church. And this praying in tongues, this gift of the Holy Ghost, this is that which was prophesied. Well, Joel didn't mention tongues, but Peter knew exactly by the Holy Ghost. He knew that what had just happened was the fulfillment in the beginning. And he said, in the last days, I'll pour out of my spirit. Well, Joel doesn't say that. But Peter begins to say, this is what's going to happen. This is the beginning of the last days. And the last days don't get over until all that darkness and all that blood and all that stuff that I don't quite yet understand takes place. All I know is I'm in, this is that. I know that the miracles are taking place. And the last thing that he said concerning the gifts was prophecy. He talked about, he mentioned all those things, the dreaming of dreams, the seeing of visions, and all that could take place in the church. And he says, and they shall what? They shall what? Prophesy. Meaning the gift of prophecy would be at large in the church. We mentioned this one time before. We said, we're living in this is that. These are the last days. So in essence, he said, this is a beautiful thought. Let the games begin. Something wonderful and powerful has happened. It's happened in the church. But you have to take that and understand this. that once He initiates all this beautifulness on the church, and He unleashes the church to be what the church is supposed to be, and He says, this is that, this is what Joel prophesied of, you can prophesy, you can speak with new tongues, you can see visions. The power is unleashed to the church because the same thing that Jesus walked in is going to be on you. Then, from that standpoint, over the next several decades, the apostles begin to put the string to the kite that would cause it to fly its highest, which is none other than sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Let's turn to a particular portion of Scripture that I like in 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Timothy was being mentored his whole life, later in life, by the Apostle Paul. Boy, what a privilege. But you and I now get the privilege to be mentored by the Holy Spirit under the words of what Paul was inspired to write. In verse 15 of chapter 2, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. This is to all of us, but he was writing to Timothy, because the Scripture is by no private interpretation. It's for all of us. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they shall increase with more ungodliness. And he mentions a couple of men who had begun to institute these types of things of profane and vain babblings. But I want you to look at chapter 3 and verse 14. And this is what Paul continues to admonish Timothy with. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child, Timothy had a tremendous upbringing, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. And listen to what he says concerning Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's the canon of Scripture that you hold in your hand today. And is profitable for what? For doctrine. What is doctrine, Pastor? It's the soundness of truth. It originates right out of the words of Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus spoke was sound doctrine. It was the culmination of the 39 books of the Old. Jesus was speaking in the stead of God, and everything that Jesus spoke was a soundness of truth. He fulfilled all of the prophecies, for He was the prophecy personified. And when Jesus spoke, and when Jesus taught us about our Father and taught us about everything about spiritual life and how we should interact with faith and walk with our Father, it was truth. And that truth is soundness of doctrine. The apostles begin to build upon Jesus' words. Jesus said, if any man will build his house upon this rock. And the rock that he was talking about was not Peter. It was a revelation rock. Peter said, he said, you are the Christ. And he said, that's right. I'm the Christ. And upon this rock, upon the rock of revelation of who I am and what I have come to do, every man will build his house upon that rock. All the apostles came along and began to speak concerning this rock. And they built their doctrine on who He was and what He's about. And this is what Paul said. All Scripture contains this. It's inspired by God. And it's profitable. What's it profitable for, Paul? It's profitable for soundness of truth. So that we, and the person in the back, believes like the person in the front. Well, don't we have the Holy Spirit for that? Yes, we do. We do. But He's contained His thoughts in a canon of Scripture. And if you pray in tongues and you read this canon of Scripture, then before we get to the end of this journey, we should all be believing the same thing. We should all be speaking the same thing. We should all have a soundness of doctrine and truth. Well, I think He gave me something that's unordinary. If it's out of Scripture, we don't want to hear about it. If it's not contained in here, we don't want to hear about it. Well, you know, Pastor, God's just doing a tremendous work in me, and I'm telling you, He's taking me out into places that he's just taken no man before. Well, listen, you can stay on your Star Trek journey and go with Captain Kirk someplace, but where I want to go is where he's taken other men before. And if I can get where other men have gone before, that's good enough for me. Hallelujah. Because that's something called revival. Hallelujah. He says here, all Scripture is inspired by God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Boy, don't we need that. That the man of God, or woman of God, if I can add that, because in Christ there is neither male or female. We know that Scripture. And you ladies are certainly capable of walking in soundness of doctrine and putting that out there where you can speak it and teach others. That the man of God may be perfect means mature. That's the word mature. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we were just in the book of Acts. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Hallelujah to Jesus. You love the Lord this morning? I'm going to begin right there in chapter 12 in just a moment. When Peter stood up and said, this is that, he said, this is Joel's prophecy being fulfilled. These are the last days. Let the games begin. Let the outpouring begin. Everything that happened in Jesus' ministry is now going to start happening to you. Everybody. He's going to come on you. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your, young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. It's a wonderful thing that's going to happen in the church. And he ends it by said, and they shall prophesy. Meaning there is going to be an anointing on the church to hear from God and speak on God's behalf. And it's supposed to be a supernatural church. But this is what you've got to understand. The height of where the church goes, how far it can go and how much it can reach into the heavens, as in the supernatural, depends on this. Same thing that a kite string does. Candy and I just celebrate our 30th anniversary. I think I said that last week. Isn't that great? Thank God. We went away this past weekend and we were spending time down at Marco just suffering for the Lord, you know. And I was watching those parasailers. You know, those guys that are being dragged around 1,000 feet high or 500 feet high on the back of a boat. But they've got this parachute. And it's amazing, you know. You got two or three of them up there. Hundreds of pounds of weight goes in the air. But you know, this is something. Even though there's a lift, something that takes them up, it's not the wind that takes them up. You say, yeah, it's the wind. You know, it's the wind. No, if they took that same parachute and just drug it real fast behind the boat, and you obviously are noticing the wind, and you just let it go. And I saw it a few times when they were ready to exchange parasails or do whatever they're going to do. They just, when they'd let it go, without anything attached to it or any tension on it, it'd just go right down to the ocean floor. It'd sit there until they made a circle and put some more people on it. When they had nothing else attached to it, it just, even though there was wind, the wind had only one effect. It just neutralized it, just brought it down. This is doctrine. When there's something attached to your life called soundness of truth, it's the same thing that caused those people. It wasn't the wind. Brother, we need more wind. We need more fire. I can say yes to that. But if it doesn't have something that keeps it attached, it'll never go anyplace. If those people that were on that parasail, that big kite in the sky, if there was not something attached that resisted the wind and kept them anchored to earth, they'd have never went anyplace. But the more it anchored them, the more they were able to let out. They were able to let out this huge cable that as far as they wanted to go, I guess they could have went. That's the same thing that sound doctrine does in your life. The more, as he said to Timothy, know this, Timothy, that you've been anchored in the Word of God. You've been anchored in the Word of God. And that anchor is a doctrine around you that allows you to be able to correct, to reprove, to speak on God's behalf. Well, Pastor, you know, I just thank God that the games have begun. Yes, they have. They have begun. But what makes these games go higher and bigger and more proficient in God is something that is attached to them. And it's called sound doctrine. If you let go of the cable and let's just have a good time and not worry about, you know, does the Word confirm that or does the Word not confirm that? Let's just have a good time. What do you got to prophesy today? What did you hear from the Lord? Well, the Lord said this to me and that. Well, wonderful, wonderful. Who else has got a prophecy? If it's not baptized in the depth of the kite string that holds it, it'll only fail. It'll only fall to the ground. Doctrine is what causes the church to go to a place where they can go into the heavens, where they can go to a place where there is a sufficiency and a proficiency around them. Can you show us more? Absolutely. We talked about this a couple of Wednesday nights ago, but the Lord said just bring it up again this morning. Look at chapter 12 of Romans. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. That word transformed is the word metamuphe, which means to go through a metamorphosis. What's the best way? One of the best ways I know of going through a metamorphosis where your mind is renewed is to read a lot of the Word of God. Put thousands of His thoughts through your head. The more Scripture goes through your head, the more you think like Jesus. As long as you're I just meditate. I don't read much of the Word, Pastor, but I just meditate. And I just sit down and I try to figure things out and I get my own peace. You know what that's like? That's like previously known information. Okay, I don't know where you come up with that, but that's previously known information. You may have learned that through an experience, and God brought you through an experience, and part of what you learned may have been God, and part of it may not, because you may not have adopted the Word of God in it. Or part of it may have been what your mama taught you, or what you just derived at through your college days, or your high school days, or what you are as far as the predisposition of a person. Well, I'm kind of a high-spirited person, and so I arrived at that through, you know, I'm a real, you know, I got to get it done kind of person. Okay, you've got that experience. That's your thought process. And here's another part of your own thoughts that have been with you for 25 years. And here's another part of your own thoughts. Now, here's the way you figure out stuff. You sit down, you get quiet, and you start trying to think through it. Apart from Him coming and integrating, and He only has a couple of ways to do that, through the metamorphosis, the transformation of your mind, which is to have it renewed, and it has to be renewed through some process. Doing this, switching files and looking at them over and over again, and always going back and rearranging, looking at it from this perspective, on the thoughts that are already there, and the doctrine that's already there, and the understanding that's already there, does not renew your mind. All you're doing is transferring the files this way and that way, and you're shuffling them around in your thought process. It has to come from someplace else. Your mind has to be renewed by the Word of God. or along with it by praying in other tongues. Well, I think this, Pastor. How'd you come up with it? Well, I've been thinking about it for a long time. Tell me what came, what scripture are you standing on? How much tongues, what has come and invaded your world and said, hey, throw out that file, that sweetheart, that don't work anymore. That's an inappropriate way to think. You can't think like that anymore. What has come into your space and reintroduced you to the wisdom of God and said, sweetheart, look, that's okay, but you've got that number one. You need to put it way over here. That's not going to work for you. Something's got to be rearranging your thoughts. Praying in tongues does that. Because it's a doctrinal gift. Along with the Word of God, there's a metamorphosis that takes place where you don't have to continue to just rearrange the files inside of you to come up with some kind of knowledge that you already know. Holy Spirit knowledge. That's what we're after, aren't we? Hallelujah. Now, he says this as we continue on. And be not conformed. Being conformed means you've looked at the files in your own head so long, and what others have told you and what the world has told you, and there has not been new knowledge introduced in there that's integrated. It's come in and it's invaded and integrated your thoughts. Something has to initiate. The only way you can have fresh thoughts, new thoughts, is by the Word of God. The only way you can have new thoughts and fresh thoughts is by praying in tongues. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And we're not teaching on that this morning, but there are three levels. There's the 30, 60, and 100-fold. Much of the church lives most of their life in the good, the 30. Good, acceptable, perfect will of God. They usually live it in that first the blade, then the ear, and then it's the full corn in the ear. That's the 100-fold. The blade is the 30. The ear is the 60. The full corn in the ear, full maturity, is the 100-fold. That's where revival lives. Hallelujah. That's where we're headed through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what we can't get to except through Him. But we have to be continually changed in our thought process. For I say through the grace. Now look at this. We've said quite a bit around here at times on grace. That's the exchange of His strength for ours. And in this particular issue, it concerns the gifts and the ministry that He's given to each one of you. I say through the grace that is given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more, what? Highly than he ought to think. But to think soberly. Means you could get drunk on yourself if you didn't watch it. The worst thing to get drunk on is yourself. Because again, your thoughts have caused you to arrange, they've been arranged in such a way that Paul said concerning your spiritual gift, you're thinking beyond the capacity that the grace that has come provides for. The grace that comes that he's talking about here is specifically in spiritual gifts. And every single one of you have spiritual gifts that should be working in you. You may not be exercising them correctly at the time. You may not realize that you do, but you have spiritual gifts that the Father has given to you. He wants us in this last day outpouring to be exercising these spiritual gifts. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I say. Okay, I'm reading now. But oh yeah, we can do that too. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, now this is a whole subject here, and you dwelling within that grace. Somebody said, well, he's got more grace. No, this is not a lesson on quantity, like if I have, you know, if I prophesy or if I teach or I exhort, I've got more grace than you. The grace in proportion is this. The grace that he's telling you to walk in is if you'll walk in the quality of that grace. I don't have more grace to fulfill my ministry than Gerald does his. I didn't get a bigger portion. I just got a portion that fits my call. That portion will cause me to be adequately equipped to whatever my call is. Gerald is a ministry of helps, gospel entrepreneur, slash whatever else God has. His number one call is that. He's got a level of grace that is supposed to be on his life for that. I don't have that grace. I have a grace to take care of my household, but I don't have that grace to do that. But the proportion that he's talking about is as each one of you have been designated, God has given. Now, in the simple gift of prophecy, I'm not talking about the prophet. I'm talking about the simple gift of prophecy. I'm talking about what Joel ended his prophecy with, or what Peter ended it with and said, you're all going to prophesy. You're all going to dream dreams, in essence. Or you're all going to, this is unleashed on the church. Well, can we just go this way and that way with it? Not really. Even though it's been unleashed, if we want to see it come to its full measure, it has one restriction on it. What's the restriction? Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. It's the kite string that holds it all together and makes it go higher. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, he says this, we have gifts, verse 6. Differing according to the grace that's given to us, whether prophecy, now watch this, and this is italicized, so it's not there in the King James, but nevertheless, the truth, the thought process, as we've meditated this out, stands to reason, stands good. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy. Now, what does he say here? According to the what? Proportion of our what? Are you there? You're reading it? Did Peter say the last thing that he said about the unleashing of the church? What did he say? And they'll do what? They'll prophesy. We're like, wow, God, we're unleashed. We're going to prophesy. Okay, wonderful. Let's prophesy. I gave this illustration, or it was an actual fact that's going on, and it stood a couple weeks ago when I shared it. I think it bears repeating right now. When I was in Korea, I was having lunch with a pastor there, and he was talking about a man that had come up in his church. And he was talking about that this guy had gotten some notoriety, and he had actually kind of, you know, ordained him as such because he'd kind of let him share his pulpit at times. And he had a prophetic gift, I guess. And after a while, people started coming to him, and they were asking him questions, you know, like, and I might not have this exactly right, but I'm trying to remember it. It's been a couple of 3 years ago. And he said they were asking him questions like, you know, what should I do, you know, about this, that, the other? And the guys were saying, well, I'll give you a prophecy, or, you know, we'll look to the Lord. What he would do is, because he had come from and visited, I think, at times there was a great work going on in China. And the work that was going on in China was being done among the children. A lot of children were, you know, just being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that's wonderful. That's really great. And the Lord was just slaying these kids in the Spirit, and they were having these visions and dreams and all kinds of stuff, and that's wonderful too. The only thing is, where the guy began to make a grave mistake is he began to put these kids under an office that they were not qualified to operate in. And he began to be part of it, and whatever came out of them was only initiated by improper doctrine. He would write back or call back and say, you kids are having these wonderful visionary experiences. Prophesy and tell us, what should we do in these situations? You know, the church, it's amazing. The church is so hungry for the Lord that they love novelties. They love novelties. Wow, you know, if God just chooses to do it that way, that just proves that he's just big and he's God, and we just, isn't that cool and isn't that groovy, and isn't that, the church just loves novelties. It's like, wow, let's, man, you're putting a cut, you're putting something on this that's holding me down. You're holding me down. Listen, what holds the thing down is the same thing that all also causes it to expand into the heaven. It's doctrine. It's doctrine. The church loves novelties. They love trinkets of things that, like, man, that don't fit the mold, does it? No, that's super cool. That's super cool. Listen, I don't care how cool it is. It's wonderful if it's cool. But listen, it's got to have soundness of doctrine. Paul said here, here's the kite string. Here's the thing that holds this whole thing in. Let a man, if he's going to prophesy, man or woman, let him prophesy according to the proportion of their faith. What does that mean? Simply put, faith cometh by what? One thing. Hearing, and by the metamuphe, or the metamorphosis, the changing of your mind. Meaning, if I don't have Scripture on it, there's no faith inside of me by which the Holy Spirit can come and bring something up inside of me. And I can't prophesy outside of my faith. I can't tell you, folks, I want to tell you something this morning that God's revealing to me. Before Jesus came to the earth, He stopped off at the planet Jupiter, and there was this tremendous tremendous convention of angelic hosts, and there were certain things that happened there, and there was a powerful thing that happened in the Spirit, and God's going to share that with us in the days to come. And you can't prophesy that, because that's not in the framework of the Word of God. There's nothing that tells you that Jesus stopped off at Jupiter or Mars. The thing that contains prophecy, the kite string that causes it to go higher, is that it has to have its base, and you have to be rooted and grounded enough in the Word of God so that what you're saying, whether it's prophetically outward to a group of people or over somebody, you can't prophesy outside of the proportion of the Word that's already in you. He will take that Word and He will pull it up. And He'll bring this Scripture and that Scripture, and the Holy Spirit will enlighten it, but it'll always be on the basis of everything that's already there on the inside of you. Hallelujah. So little children, oh, isn't it beautiful? Could they prophesy? Probably. But all that they would know to say is, Jesus loves me, this I know. They're not going to proportionately prophesy to you about, let me speak to you about the judgment of the things to come, and spiritual gifts, and how that a man should treat his wife, and things of purity, and things of righteousness. They can't do that. God won't use them in that way. He won't use a person outside of what's already been imputed in there, which is the Word of God. And according to that Word, then He can step up, pull that forward, bring that up inside of you, and use it according to His Word. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I just love novelties. I love to see little kids do things that, you know, listen, little kids, Jesus said, you have to be like a little kid to enter into the kingdom of God. He didn't say little kids will teach you doctrine. He didn't say you're supposed to go to them and say, what do you think Daddy should do about this? Would you pray and would you ask Jesus? Neither should a little child that's infant in the kingdom of God. They're wonderful. Their hearts are just digesting Jesus. But you don't go to them. This is why Paul says, lay hands on no man suddenly. He didn't mean a grace line. He said to Timothy and these guys, don't ordain anybody quickly. Make sure that they're not a novice. Make sure they don't stand up and start speaking. God said this, God said that, with only a couple of years of God under their belt. Make sure they've got doctrine inside of them. Then when they prophesy, then when they speak, then the kite, the parasail, that thing can go high and it can sail wide, because it's not the wind that's taking it up. It's the resistance to the wind. It's something that's holding it to earth, which is the Word of God inside every one of us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Isn't God wonderful? And this is how He treats every one of these. He says, whether it's prophecy or ministry. Italicized is let us wait. But nevertheless, He's saying grace. It has to be empowered by grace. So if you're teaching or ministering or exhorting, it has to come from a place That's why the word says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, meaning not the Holy Ghost is subject to you, meaning your own spirit. Oh, I just got something. I think he's going to give me something. I'm just going to start. Listen, this is how prophecy works. It's not verbatim. He drops revelation inside of you. And out of that revelation, you cannot go outside of it. Well, I heard him say something I didn't even know was in the Word of God. I mean, I just started prophesying things I get a lot of information from my friend Bob. Bob's 2 years old in Christ, and Bob says he doesn't have time to read the Word, but Bob loves to prophesy, Pastor, and he's given me some powerful revelation. What do you think about that? I think Bob should sit down and be quiet. And I don't want to receive what Bob has to say. I love Bob, but Bob doesn't need to be telling me things. You ever been around somebody where it's like, man, my God, I know why God hasn't been talking to me, because all he does is talk to Bob. You know? He just and God said this, and then I was there, and God said that, and God said, listen. And the other thing too, and I say this in all due respect, listen. When he said to think soberly, not outside of the box, and I say this in due respect. If you hear a man or woman who just every single day, it seems like, has some kind of powerful third heaven experience, you have to understand something. That even these guys that wrote the book, it was decades, sometimes decades, between having any kind of vision of heaven, out-of-body experience. It happened, but sometimes it was 15 years, 20 years. Sometimes it only happened 2 or 3 times in their lifetime. What he's saying is, let a man stay inside of that grace. Don't think more highly of yourself. What happens? What happens if Reuben, can I pick on you? What happens if Reuben starts coming to us and in every service says, this past week, I visited Jesus? Well, the first 1 or 2 times we may say, hallelujah. Don't tell us anything out of the Word of God, Reuben. But really, Reuben's probably not going to even tell us. There's a person that at times has told me about angelic experiences. And this is one of the only few people I've ever really felt so comfortable in receiving, because they don't even ask, they don't even want to come up and tell you about it. And I won't even hear from them for a year or two unless I ask about it. It's thinking soberly. It's thinking soberly. Now, if Reuben comes up every week, Pastor, I want to tell you something. You know, last week I had, remember I had that heavenly experience? Yes, sir. Well, I got to tell you something. This week I went to heaven again. Well, that's wonderful. After Reuben does that about 4 or 5 times, he's leaving the rest of us, because the rest of us don't have those kind of experiences. He's going someplace where we can't go. And this is what's happening. Reuben is exalting himself out of the proportion that the Holy Spirit has come to give to him. And what that does to the rest of the body is it leaves us in the dust, and it makes us begin to go to a place where we think, boy, we'd like to be like Reuben. We must be just second class kinds of Christians. If we could go where Reuben, because Reuben goes there every week or every month. See how it gets out of order? But the proportion is this. It has to be in the Word of God. Once it's in the Word of God, then it's delivered over to you on a basis of humility that you're able only to give it out on a need-to-know basis. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. How many are glad for sound doctrine through Him? Hallelujah. Praise God. And that doesn't keep any of you from having a vision or a dream or prophesying. But it lets you know it'll all be inside of that word. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. How many of you love the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Why don't you just stand with me for just a moment?